That's right. A little Baron Burton's W sauce. Owl in Lager. New Realm Brewing. Kennesaw State's, they played, was it Wake Forest they played the other day? And almost won. They got a game. They're playing Indiana this weekend. John Freakies. All right. I know he's a Nebraska fan, but he's also an Indiana basketball fan, too. It's really weird.
I know people like that.
Because his wife went there.
Yeah. So he's been calling these money games on College Football Game Time on Saturdays. Because Wake Forest, he called games for Wake Forest, and his daughter went to Kennesaw State.
Yes.
So that's why he calls them money games.
He'll tell you all the teams he called games for. All right. Look, the story, we want to get to it real quick because I know we got a wake-up call. A $1 million luxury yacht tipped over and sank minutes after its inaugural launch. I mean, this video pops up on my Twitter feed, and it's got this big old hole, right, going down this I don't know, whatever it is, and it goes like a launch, but not a regular boat launch like we're used to, and it goes into the sea. This happened like in Turkey, and it's 15 minutes off the shore of Turkey, and the thing gets out there a little bit, and all of a sudden you see the one side leaning, and it just flips on its side, and then you see a guy walking on the bottom of it and everything, and then he like has a life jacket on. He has a jump off. It's called the Dulce Vento, and it eased into the northern Turkey's district where there's a sea over there. And this thing just like leans and tips over. You can find the video. This article I got is on the New York Post. It was the first time the 85-foot boat went in the water. It was worth around $940,000.
Wow.
And it was delivered to his owner who is from Istanbul. They do not know what happened, but the captain, the owner, and two crew members all jumped overboard and swam to shore without injury. The Coast Guard put up like a little security perimeter around it, and they're going to investigate it. But I mean, this
brutal.
I just see the video and I'm like, what's going on? And then I read the caption. I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this. And I just watched the whole thing and I was like, I don't know how to feel. Because this sucks.
Yeah, it does suck, man.
But you know what? I thought to myself, well, he had insurance, surely. And you got $1 million to buy a boat, then I'm sure you got disposable income. You'll figure it out.
Goes to show you, just because you can afford a boat doesn't mean you need a boat. You know what I mean? I'm also upset with Allie.
Why are you upset with me?
I can't believe you let him get away with the Dulce. You know what I mean? Like, I've been just getting it absolutely tight. He drops the Dulce.
Yours was Icarus, though.
I know. Like,
you also,
I still don't know how to say it.
You also made a horrific face when she mispronounced the name on accident earlier.
Is that what it is? This is my get back?
Yeah.
Do you know what Dulce is?
Yeah, it's like a type of like brand that women have, Dulce Gabbana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dolce and Gabbana.
I was like, dang, he nailed that part of it and still didn't say it right. All right.
My chair just shrunk.
Oh my gosh, dude. Had you fallen over? We do have wake up call. 447-260-929. I just told a story about Roy Jones Jr. and my hometown, some of the hometown heroes I grew up with. We're also getting you set for Dallas and Philly tonight. Let us know your thoughts on the NFL season coming up this weekend right here in the wake up call. All right, before we get to the phone lines, like I said, 447-260-929. If you guys want to call in on the wake-up call, let us know who your hometown hero is. Allie, just with the tease of all tees, she's like, there's a big one for my hometown.
Oh, yeah.
I got to know. What we got?
There's a massive one for my hometown. And I do have the yearbook. And I've talked about this on the radio for years. I've yet to hear from him. He would never remember me. But I went to high school with Brian McCann. And he had signed his deal with the Braves before they picked the superlatives. And so he got most likely to be famous.
Wait. Were y'all friends?
No, I never spoke to him. He was a few years older than me.
Okay.
So I didn't know him, but like I have that yearbook.
Yeah. That's pretty cool though.
Pretty cool.
It reminds me really of the Josh Berry conversation. Do you remember who Josh Berry went to high school with? The NASCAR driver, the 21 car.
I know who Josh Berry
is. I'm telling people that are listening because they
you were looking right at me and I'm like, yeah, I know who he is. No, who did he go to school
Taylor Swift.
Really?
Yeah, he went to high school with Taylor Swift. And
is
they're
that
like,
Pennsylvania?
Are y'all friends? And he was like, we literally never spoke.
Yeah, yeah.
Never once did we ever talk to each other. I think it's Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm wrong.
I imagine they ran in completely different circles.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, he was a gearhead over there. He probably had auto mechanics class, and she was probably in like the,
you
know.
He was running iRacing, man.
The drama.
For his career.
Oh, so he was a nerd too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Brian was always, you know, playing baseball, and I was an improv troupe, so we like, we were nuts.
What is that? What is
improv troupe, where you go and you act out scenes and stuff.
That's
and you're
a thing?
Oh, yeah. I was director of improv troupe at Duluth High School, man.
That is so on brand.
You've officially overtaken Garrett as the nerdiest person here. Like, he was a mathlete. You were an improv troupe.
Director. We ran in different circles.
I don't know. That's like a battle royale there. That's like, who's the bigger nerd, improv troupe or mathlete? I mean,
there's your wake-up call, Todd. What's the nerdiest thing you've done in your history?
On. Could you letter? Could you letter for a mathlete, Gary?
It's like, I wasn't a mathlete.
Did you give you like a plus sign or something? And then if you lettered all 4 years, you ended with like a division sign or something.
All right, he's on the phone working the phone. Hey, Gary, if you can hear me, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Sean. Hey, Sean, I hope you're having a great Thursday, man. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Man, I listen to you guys every morning going to work. I'm headed to work right now.
Awesome, man. Appreciate that.
Hey, look, calling in because you said you wanted to wanted to know the guys from your hometown.
Yes, sir.
So check it out. I'm from small town South Georgia, Coffee County, Douglas, Georgia. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm gonna give you two old and two recent. And the old names are big to us because we're a small town. We don't get too many big names come from there. But back in the day, for Georgia Bulldog, we had Andre Pupwood Smith.
Okay.
You guys heard of him?
Yes, absolutely.
And Jennifer Nettles.
Oh yes.
Wow.
She's from our hometown.
All right.
And then the two recent ones, former Atlanta Falcon, Kentavious Smith.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Kentavious Street.
There you go.
And the infamous Tyreek Hill.
Oh, wow.
I knew there was one in there somewhere. Yeah. I knew there was one in there somewhere. Appreciate the phone call, Sean.
Didn't Street resign to the practice squad?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What's in the water down there? I mean, what a slew of people.
Kentavious Street, Jennifer Nettles, Tyreek Hill. That's pretty solid. Pretty solid squad. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Garrett, let's talk to our buddy Meat. What's going on, man?
What's going on?
Hey, man.
Hey, my hometown hero, man. I want to give a shout out to my uncle. He's the flag football coach of the South Fulton Ravens.
Okay.
And he's doing great work. I think he made Channel 2 News about a couple months ago. But, yeah he's doing great work.
What's the age group?
I'm not really sure, but it may be like 10 and up or something like that.
Okay, cool.
I'm not really sure. But he does females as well, flag football.
That's where it's at, man. Appreciate the phone
call. He's doing a lot of coaching, man. I appreciate y'all for giving me that platform to give him a shout out.
Of course, man. We love the hometown hero stuff. Hey, how about our buddy Donaldson? I just found out, and he might be listening right now, just found out he's coaching girls flag football this year, high school level.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Because, you know, his son is about the same age as your daughter.
Yeah, they're about a week apart.
They're about a week apart.
And yeah, they're
like,
soulmates.
Man, he didn't want to take on the responsibility of coaching full-time like Friday night high school football.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'll do the girls flag football.
That's cool.
I really enjoy that. Yeah,
I don't blame him.
Perfect for that job.
Do they
absolutely perfect for that job.
I know they do girls flag football, and it's really big in high school. And the Falcons and A&B organization are all big on that. But do they still do powder puff? Or is that
a great question.
Is that going away because flag football? It just popped in my mind. I hope it's still there.
I was the head coach of the powder puff team, junior and senior year. That was always a lot of fun, man. That was always a lot of fun. Always enjoyed powder puff. Did I play powder puff?
We had it. That was for the popular girls. I was over in my improv
group.
I was over in theater. Yeah, yeah. You know, doing playing zing zap zop, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's
zip zap
crazy.
Who?
Zing zang zop. That's an improv game.
Dude, just stop. I swear. You know we love you.
I know.
But let's bury that one down deep.
When I watch those office episodes where Michael Scott takes improv classes, I'm like, oh God. Oh God, man. That was me.
Also, the verdict is in.
Yeah, but all he wanted to do is be a cop.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw it a minute ago. Stink just walked by. The verdict he's in. It's not a suit. It is a blue jacket, though. And He has the pocket square. It's not the three mountaintops like I thought it was going to be. It's just a
Just tell us just the color. Fluff.
What's the color?
I just did.
You
it
said
was
the,
blue.
The jacket was blue.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't wearing a suit, though.
Yeah, but he had the hanger.
Oh, the pocket square. I don't know. Light,
light blue.
It's blue.
Yeah, yeah.
Light blue. Specifically, come on now. Give
I'm
me my flowers.
Extremely, like, colorblind. So,
good not, job, Garrett. Good job, Garrett.
I didn't know that you were that. That's what you were asking about, the pocket square color.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to.
Is that what we were talking about earlier?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't talking about that.
That's what I was.
The
that's what me
color.
And Garrett were talking about.
I was talking about it.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was walking in here in a red suit, if that's what you thought I was saying.
Are you
that's
having,
exactly what I thought you were saying. I was like, the power suit? The red? Like, what are we talking
Are you just
about?
Having your own conversations in your head today? Oh. Icarus?
All right. This
no,
hour.
I said that out loud.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Coming up, our Braves insider, Grant McCauley, will jump on the show with us next to talk about those Braves on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. We're about to welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's very own Braves insider and reporter and host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley. And our conversation with Grant is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service, and by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He's also my postgame host for the Atlanta Falcons, so we'll be hanging out with Grant on Sunday night. Grant, look, the people want to know, and we're just going to go ahead and start this off. Did you know that Allie was part of improv troupe when she was in high school? Because that to me is that's a pretty good group to be a part of, my friend.
I did know that. I did not know all of the details behind it, and I have not been able to see any videos or any performances whatsoever, but yeah, I did know that.
Please, God, what group? Ask somebody in her family to dig those up, please.
No kidding. What group were you a part of, Grant? Were you a part of a group in high school?
Not really that I can think of. It's been a long time, and I've slept since then, as I like to say. But no, I just pretty much went to school, did what I needed to do, and then went on to college. And that's when I really got into doing a lot more groups and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, what were you a part of in college, Grant?
Ooh.
Well, I was in a fraternity where I was the president. I was in student government. I wrote for the paper, did a lot of different things. So just kind of anything I could get involved with, because that was when I feel like I really got the opportunity to meet some great people and create some lifelong friendships and kind of come out of my shell, as it were.
I don't want to be that guy, but I swear that you and a good friend of all of ours, Mark Owen, started some kind of organization. Was it a wrestling organization?
Oh,
some
yeah,
sorts?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, we definitely did. We definitely did. So that was probably one of our best and simultaneously worst ideas, if you really go back and track it down. And if you were to go and check some of the areas around the school, you might still see evidence of some of those shows.
This is incredible. This is absolutely incredible.
We both have equally embarrassing things in our history.
I think we all do.
Yes.
I think we all do, absolutely.
Yeah. None of us are void of embarrassment. It's just,
I think we all do.
You know.
No doubt about it. Grant, all right, so let's talk about the Braves just a little bit, man. Obviously, some ups and downs over the last few days, but this is a team that has made some additions, made some subtractions, and we're just building up towards the end of this season.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And then obviously the eye has been on 2026 for a while, because we know where the Braves have been this year and obviously where they're not going this season. So I think that opportunity was out there to kind of think about where you need to add, and if there's a way to do anything before you get into free agency, when it's just kind of that feeding frenzy and, you know, the market is what the market is. And I think that's kind of where the Ha-Seong Kim acquisition really speaks to what the Braves were trying to do around the trade deadline. And I know I talked about this a month or more ago now, that they were talking to teams about players that could either get into free agency or just otherwise would have, you know, not necessarily been available, to see if there was a fit for them, even if the Braves weren't contending, to see if it was a fit that would help them beyond 2025. And Ha-Seong Kim is definitely one of those. I think that he would have had a bigger market. I mean, he obviously would have in free agency this past winter, were it not for getting that shoulder surgery that ended his season in 2024. You knew he was going to miss the first half of this year, and he did. And now he's just kind of trying to, I think, get himself back on track, but holds a $16 million player option for next year, which, when you look at the shortstop class that's out there in free agency, it's Bo Bichette and not a lot else. And I do feel like there will be some teams ready to throw a lot of money at Bo Bichette, and some could argue maybe an irresponsible amount of money at him. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I'd like the Ha-Seong Kim thing because I like the player that he is and can be. He's shown us a little bit over the first couple of days, admittedly very small sample size, but he feels the position well. He has power. He's shown that. He can run the bases well. Just does a lot of things that, at least for a year, kind of lets the Braves get into their future where they've drafted a ton of shortstops just this year. There's a big draft class next year that might have some great shortstops in it and does. So we'll see what the long-term fit at shortstop is. You don't necessarily have to go out in free agency and sign somebody to an 8-year deal.
Well, in staying on theme with the additions that the Braves have made, we talked about the pitcher that the Braves called up the other day. Has an interesting story. Hayden Harris was with the Savannah Bananas at one point. What else do you know about this guy?
Yeah, very interesting to see those guys make it to the big leagues. But Hayden Harris was a non-drafted free agent, signed with the Braves in 2022, had already played for the Savannah Bananas at that point. And, you know, he's put together an incredible season this year after kind of just being, I would say, just kind of an arm in the minor leagues, kind of intriguing, big strikeout numbers, but just didn't find sustained success. But this year, he's allowed 3 runs at 2 minor league levels across 40 innings, I believe, 40-plus innings. And is just racking up strikeouts. So I was curious, he pitched in the Futures game this year as well, you know, how long it would be until we saw him around the All-Star break. And it's just gone on and on and on. And obviously the Braves bullpen has needed some answers for a while. So maybe we'll finally all get to, you know, figure out what the curiosity is about Hayden Harris and see if his stuff plays at the big league level. Because he's not the hardest thrower, but he's got some really, really good stuff and obviously can miss bats. And the Braves have needed some of that.
Grant, Ronald Acuna Jr. has now moved back to the leadoff spot. He's one for his last 26 with 9 strikeouts. What's going on with him?
I think it's just kind of one of those waves you go through in a season for him. I've seen him hit the ball awfully hard several times, including once yesterday, a ball that was tracked down at the wall at Wrigley. So I think it's just kind of, you know, the highs and lows that are built into a season. Personally, I mean, I know he moved back to leadoff because Jerickson Profar is off on paternity leave. When Jerickson rejoins the team this weekend against Seattle, I'm expecting that he'll go back into the leadoff spot, but I also probably would never have moved Ronald Acuna Jr. I understand he used the word again, the Braves' curiosity of trying something because their offense was not getting anything done, and clearly Profar has had a very good run over the past month, but I'm of the opinion with Ronald, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I would have left him in the leadoff spot and maybe just batted Profar second because he's a switch hitter. And I thought that's kind of what the Braves were thinking about doing before, because to me, at least at this point, I'm not really a fan of the Matt Olson thing at second, because I don't really feel like that's moving the needle either. So there's a few things that haven't worked, but overall the Braves offense has been much more consistent in the second half. Ronald hasn't really necessarily been a huge part of that, but we know how hot he can get and how quickly that can happen. So I would imagine before we're done with the month of September that Ronald has found a way to be a big contributor in a number of ways.
Grant McCauley joining us, Braves Insider. Grant, I'm going to go a little bit away from the Braves here, and I'm just going to ask you to give me your opinion on this, because I don't want you to get too deep in the weeds on the whole ESPN TV contract thing where they're, you know, from framework for the streaming rights and everything else. But supposedly coming along with this would be that ESPN is moving away from Sunday Night Baseball and perhaps moving their exclusive rights games to another night of the week. Now, if Grant McCauley were in charge of the four-letter network, which night of the week would you want to put the Major League Baseball games on ESPN?
Goodness, I feel like maybe Wednesday would be a day that would make sense as a showcase. Because
the old school doubleheader night.
Yeah, there's not as much going on there. I mean, a Sunday night showcase makes sense for virtually every sport. I mean, who wouldn't want a game in that particular time where everybody's weekend is kind of building to that crescendo and that's the big, you know, marquee event? I mean, clearly we know the NFL is built around Sunday primarily. Every sport basically plays at some point on Sundays, it seems like. Even college football now, we've got Sunday games. So, I don't know. I think Wednesday would probably make the most sense. The doubleheader would certainly be nice. I remember that growing up. I thought that was kind of fun, and maybe they'll do that in an old-school kind of way. Just get back into the Wednesday doubleheader business.
Hey, Grant, are you excited for your first post-game co-hosting duties with Mike this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely is. I'll answer that for him.
Yeah, no, I'm very, very much looking forward to it. I mean, I know we did the preseason walkthroughs, I'll call them that, but yeah, I think we're in line for a fun season. I think there's a lot of excitement around this team for good reason, and I'm looking forward to talking about it with Mike for at least 2 hours after each and every one of these games.
Attaboy, man. Rise up.
All right, what are you working on for From the Diamond this weekend?
Yeah, trying to figure out exactly what I'm going to do. I think I'm kind of displaced by the amount of football that's on the station this week, but obviously it's been a big move for shortstop for the Braves Club, so maybe diving into that and putting up something on the podcast. So if you are a follower from the Diamond, make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Please leave a rating. I always appreciate those. And you can also find it on the Odyssey app.
I'm giving awesome. You 5 stars right now, Grant. 5 stars right now.
5 stars. Thanks, Grant. We appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone.
That is Grant McCauley, 92.9 The Game's Braves insider and host of From the Diamond / Mike's co-host on the post-game show on the Atlanta Falcons radio network.
Dude, I have an update from Andy Bunker. The name of his improv group when he was in high school.
Oh, what was it?
How about this? Theater Sports. He were the state champs of theater sports.
Dude,
he just texted me in the middle of that, and I was like, yes!
Send that.
Theater Sports!
Send that to Randy.
Theater Sports!
Please send that to Randy.
The greatest thing I've ever heard of. Judges and everything, he says. Theater Sports.
Wow. That's incredible.
Wow.
Hey, this Saturday from noon until 2, you can join me out at Calavan Kia in Lithia Springs as we get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit. It's a 50-inch 4K smart TV with rolling stand, other prizes, and another winner is going to take home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, that is this Saturday from noon until 2 at Calavan Kia in Lithia Springs with me and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we will be joined by Shannon Joyner, Vice President of Marketing for the Atlanta Falcons. He is up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Garrett is hanging out with us as well. And it is an exciting week. We've been talking about the Falcons home opener all morning, all week. And someone who's a bit more qualified to fill us in on all the happenings at Mercedes-Benz is Shannon Joyner, Vice President of Marketing for the Atlanta Falcons. Shannon, thanks so much for joining us
great
today.
Great to be back. You know, love this every year. This is part of the schedule of being
always
here.
Always got the
so
best swag, too. Always got the best swag. Like, you just know when the swag's coming. Always
I mean,
get
radio
off.
Is a visual medium, right?
Well, they got to turn these cameras on around here. You see them.
But hold on.
Look good, feel good.
Don't play that game. You know what Mike's talking about. You got the Sundays in Atlanta, Georgia gear. This is like the third year of it, right?
Fourth year.
Yeah. You put my medium hoodie in the office.
I gave it a Conti. Now, what he does with it, that's, you know.
Yeah.
We're just going to gloss over that size. Because I was sitting there going, last night brought me when it didn't fit. But that's fine because I'm a large person.
Look, man, it ain't my fault that I can go to the store and buy clothes.
It's
like regular.
This man tried to tell me, Shannon, that he should only be charged by thread count and that I should have to pay more for my clothes.
But, you do look good. I mean, you follow the Wyman post-career.
I appreciate that.
Slim down.
Well, I do appreciate that.
Look, Why should I pay the same price he does when he has more material than I get? I'm just saying. It's like when you go to a restaurant, you get extra sides, you pay more for it, right?
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
In this economy, every inch matters, I guess.
Every inch has always mattered,
balls.
Man.
Yeah. All right, Shayna.
Back to Mike.
Get this thing back on the rails here.
Yeah, back to Mike.
Let's talk about this rally on Friday night. You guys got going on Atlantic Station. It looks like it starts at 7 o'clock. How about T.I. in the house for that, man? Yeah. That's a really cool event that you guys do every year, man. A lot of fun.
Well, we'll get to the ride, but do this collection, the Sunday's collection, does drop today, 9 a.m. Is it even 9 yet? I guess
17 minutes.
17 minutes. So on our website, social media channels, you can buy it. It sells out quickly. So
one of the softest hoodies I've ever worn.
Is yeah.
Unbelievable.
Thread count. You know, so, but to Friday, yeah. So, you know, our biggest, you know, fan event outside of the games themselves is always our Dirty Birds Rally presented by Truist. Always at Atlantic Station. You know, this Friday, it's a free event, starts at 7 p.m. We'll have Freddie out there, our cheerleaders. We'll have several players, including QB1, Michael Penix Jr., which will be out there. So great opportunity to kind of hear from him and our guys, and it's just kind of the start of the weekend heading into the big game on Sundays. So we always love seeing so many people with their family and friends. It really is a fun event, and it's really become a staple of our kind of road to kickoff. So look forward to that.
Shannon, with everything kicking off on Friday, how much sleep are you getting this weekend?
Not a lot of sleep, but it's always my favorite week of the year. Yeah. Like, you know, it's busy, but, you know, this is what you live in and work for, and you can feel it. And it really starts, and you guys know this, you were out in Flowery Branch. You know, we had construction, you know, at the facility last year. Yeah. We weren't able to have open practices with our fans, but we were able to have double-digit open practices. This year you guys were out there, and it's just a great energy. Like, our players and our organization loves to be able to, you know, play in front of our fans. So to have that build up over the last several weeks leading into Sunday is really exciting.
So this is the 60th season of the Falcons. What have you guys got planned during the season? Is there anything special that you can kind of hint at or maybe tell us about?
Yeah, so starting, you know, on Sunday kickoff, and, you know, we have a special performance by Bone Crusher.
Yeah.
Which is be fun. And we know how much music is just so big in our community. So having T.I. perform at the rally on Friday, leading into Bone Crusher performing at the game on Sunday, we're actually going to have UGA's marching band perform at halftime.
Very cool.
So that'll be really cool. But as you said, about 60 seasons. And so our Monday night game, October 13th against Buffalo, is going to be the game where we really celebrate 60 seasons. So we're going to do a lot of look backs at key moments. Celebrate a lot of legends, bring them back, you know, to really kind of celebrate this month, which is about the team, but it's also really about the fans, too. So a lot of kind of engagement opportunities for our fans to really celebrate 60 seasons.
I want to hear about the cool moments from your job. We had Terry Fontenot on our show when we were out in Flowery Branch. We were sitting there right in front of the weight room, and right in front of us was the merch trailer. And I was like, how cool is it for you to look over at the merch trailer and you see some of the guys you've drafted – right, that you've been like, hey, I want Bajan, I want Penix. And to see little kids, you know, 6-7-year-old, go to the merch trailer and purchase their jerseys, I was like, it has to be really cool for you. What's that, like, what's your moment like that? Because it's a really cool job.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you the craziest moment. So you guys know we're playing in Berlin, you know, this year. Mm-hmm. And we took Bajan in the offseason over to Germany as kind of a pre-promotional tour. He got to attend the Champions League final in Munich, which is crazy. So we're in Germany, and, you know, obviously the NFL is huge, but, you know, its popularity in Germany is not the same, obviously, here. So if an NFL player is walking down the street here, everybody's going to know him. In Europe, it's a little different. We were just walking down the street in Berlin, and there were some kids with a Bajan jersey on.
No way.
Just there. Had no idea, no obviously, he was going to be there.
Way.
And so just to see that really kind of brought it home about, man, this is special. Right, and you know, the power of the NFL and the power of a player like Bajan, how it can extend not just domestically but internationally, is really special to see. So that was a cool
That is insane.
Sure.
That is crazy,
Are you guys having a rally when we're – I know a lot of times when we go places – for those of you who don't know, obviously I travel with the Falcons, but when we go to different cities, you guys can go, and they have a rally almost everywhere we go.
Yep.
You guys are in a bar, so I'm assuming you're doing something like that in Berlin.
Yeah, we're going to have a whole kind of – probably starting on that Thursday leading into the game on Sunday, we're going to have a rally. We're actually going to have a really cool concept. It's going to be a Falcons house. So we're taking over a museum.
Oh, is that where I'm staying? And,
yeah, exactly. Penthouse. It's going to be in Berlin. It's going to be like a Falcons museum, really both kind of celebrating Falcons football, but also telling the story of Atlanta. You know, Atlanta influences everything and really kind of showing how the city and the team kind of come together. So excited about that.
We are joined by Shannon Joyner, VP of Marketing for the Atlanta Falcons on the morning shift. Everyone always raves about the food at Mercedes-Benz. And Mercedes-Benz was recently named the top stadium for food, number 2 overall best stadium, according to USA Today. This has to be so rewarding to you that the fan experience is ranked so high.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a full organizational, you know, effort. Obviously, someone like myself or my fellow colleagues, once the ball's kicked off in between the lines, you know, we can't, you know, affect that, and just so excited about what Raheem and Terry are doing with the team. But organization is, what can we do to maximize the full fan, you know, experience? We've been one of the top-ranked teams and stadiums for the last several years in terms of the NFL voice of the fan, and obviously food is a huge aspect of that. And what's always funny is every year we tweet, you know, what, you know, a fan we can get for $20 coming to a game, and every year it goes viral. Like, and it's just cool to see, and it's just a reminder of, you know, again, people care about the experience. They care about parking. They care about getting to the game. They care about how does the Wi-Fi work in the stadium. And so we really try to obsess over every element of the fan experience, because we know that while we can't control the wins and the losses, those types of things can add to the full fan experience on game day.
Let's rip the Band-Aid off here a little bit. You said you can't control the things that happen between the white lines. Now, you walked in here and you were like, have you gotten over the Bama loss? I'm like, dude, okay, here we go. Like, first thing, gloves off. How much do you, like, what's your Falcon fandom like on game day? I'm genuinely curious because.
Well, he's a hometown kid now.
I know he's a hometown guy, and I know that, like, you grow up on it and everything, but I'm just curious. Like, we used to, and I know that we've probably talked about this. We used to have, like, some guys on the sidelines that would be in suits and wristbands. You know what I mean? Like, they'd have a game face on. Is that your style, or are you like, man, it is what it is?
Well, Bo knows, I am a game day suit guy. I do like my game day suits. I think the thing is one, I'll always be a fan. Is, you know, born and raised here, love the team. I would say kind of the first half, especially kind of pregame through the first half, there's a lot of movement. You know, we're hosting a lot of people, making sure they're getting to the right, you know, areas, going to visit different people, and then, you know, I'm definitely watching for sure, but it is different versus being a fan. But pretty much kind of halftime into second half, we're all kind of locked in.
Let's go.
You know, for sure. But, you know, game day, you know, we're getting there several hours before the game, through the game, and then afterwards. So it's a full day for sure.
So when Mike and I are doing pre-game, we've been in the Mercedes-Benz suite down below, but the Sports Illustrated suite is up there. Our area is up there now. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so we're really excited about that. So it's called the Sports Illustrated Tickets Lounge. And what's really cool about that is we wanted to provide an additional premium experience, but at a lower price point. And so we basically carved out a whole bunch of seats on the 300 level, the west end zone, and it's a you know, kind of full kind of lounge space that has an associated ticket. And it's a great party there. We're going to have music up there. The visuals are amazing. Think about different Sports Illustrated covers that we've had over the years. Those are on display. They have a cool kind of fifth quarter postgame experience up there. So we're continuing to listen to our fans that want, you know, a variety of different ways to experience our game. And we're excited to get that going this season.
Well, Shannon, if someone hasn't been to a game yet down at Mercedes-Benz, can you kind of walk through the game day experience? I mean, you guys have so much going on, from Freddie, the cheerleaders, so much.
Yeah, so we always tell fans, you know, get there early, you know, hours before. Home Depot backyard is an amazing experience, has so much programming. They're really kind of throughout the exterior of the stadium. And then once you get inside, you know, gates open, you know, several hours before. And we always encourage our fans, tour around the stadium. Like, one of the biggest tourist attractions of our stadium, and we know how much high school football matters here in Georgia, is the girls' flag and boys' tackle walls at the stadium. So we have a helmet of every single high school football team in the state, and we have a flag representing every single girls' flag football team in the state. And it's amazing how many people come there and just look up trying to find, yep, you know, their high school or where their kids are playing now, because that's important. Like, we want to be, you know, the full connective tissue of football, whether it's NFL all the way down to high school and to youth football as well.
Shannon Joyner joining us, VP of Marketing for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not going to ask you if the Falcons are getting new jerseys. Right? I'm just going to ask you how often you get that question. Like, how often do people bring up Falcons jerseys, throwback jerseys, things like that? They always want to know. Falcons getting new jerseys?
Yeah, all the time. It's a question we get asked. I mean, obviously a jersey is – one of the biggest,
sure,
you know, aspects, yeah, of our brand. And, you know, people are passionate, and we love it. Like, we love the feedback. We love hearing, you know, from fans. You know, the NFL and Nike launched the new rivalry, you know, series, yep, you know, basically kind of the modern-day color rush, you know, kind of 2.0. It's really cool to see the teams that were part of kind of year one this year. So we encourage fan feedback. But that's really for anything, right? You know, we want to hear about concessions, or right, we want to hear about – you know, uniforms. Like, we only get better if we have our fans participating and giving us, you know, feedback. So whether it's an email, you know, to me or you're commenting on one of our tweets, we always encourage that, and we want to hear from our fans, because passion is what drives all of this, right? And our fans are the centerpiece of everything that we do, so we always want to hear feedback from them.
Well, we were already hyped for Sunday, but now after you visited today, I think we're all just...
We dressed up for you today. Yeah, we dressed up for you today.
I don't dress like this. I only dress like this when I get on the plane.
Right. That's it. Yeah. So, only when Shannon Joyner's in studio.
I won't say this for the guests after me, but, you know, you guys, yeah, I appreciate it, too.
It's not my guest. I'm not getting into that.
Definitely for you, man. Definitely for you. Appreciate you hanging out with us. What's the one thing going into this weekend that you're, like, the 5-minute stretch you're looking most forward to?
come out to the rally Friday, come early on Sunday, and just be excited. Like, our fans are excited. I mean, again, the amount of fans that came to open practices at training camp has just been a great momentum over the last several weeks, but everyone's just ready to kick the ball off 1 p.m. on Sunday. So
it must be so cool, though, as somebody that's in marketing, to be in a city with so much talent as far as, like, musical artists and things like that. Like, just, oh, yeah, no big deal. T.I.'s coming to the rally. Like, what? Like, but that doesn't happen everywhere, man.
But it also, what also doesn't happen is, like, T.I. is a real fan.
Yes.
Like, T.I. will tweet about how the game went, too, right? And I think that's what's really cool about the Atlanta culture is, like, whether it's musicians or entertainers, like, they care about the city, and so obviously cool, the Falcons being a big part of that. And so that's really what makes this unique, and we love it. So,
well, get your tickets, get to the bands, go see the Falcons, and that Sunday's collection drops in 6.5 minutes.
I mean, I'm about to go grab mine from Conti.
You
left it with him.
Shannon, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Rise up. Appreciate
Rise up. That is Shannon Joyner, VP of Marketing for the Atlanta Falcons. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. That's going to do it for us. For Mike, Bo, Garrett, and myself, Allie Mack, thanks for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay cool, Atlanta.
Pew, pew.